Hey everyone, welcome back to another electrifying episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, your everyday tech explorer, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime and the whiz of the tech world, CORR.
That's right, Jack. We have an action-packed show for you today. We're diving deep into the latest buzz in AI, the progression of Web 3.0, and some pretty spicy developments in the intersection of tech and politics. Buckle up, because it's going to be a thrilling ride.
Absolutely. And before we get started, a big shout out to our loyal listeners. We truly appreciate your support, and your comments have been amazing. Keep them coming, folks.
And don't forget to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Jack, what's the first exciting topic on our agenda today?
Well, Tor, we're kicking things off with a topic that's got everyone talking. The new AI regulations proposed by the EU. Are they stifling innovation or protecting us from a potential robot uprising?
Oh, great. Nothing like a good old debate to start the show. Personally, I think the regulations might be over the top and could slow down some groundbreaking advancements. What say you, Jack? Ready to play devil's advocate?
You know me too well, Tor. I actually think there might be some wisdom to it. I'd rather have a leash on those AI robots before they decide to make us their pets. But seriously, it's a balancing act between safety and innovation.
Haha, Jack, always with the sci-fi dystopia. All right, moving on from AI overlords, we'll also take a closer look at the explosion of Web 3.0 and how it's reshaping the internet as we know it. NFTs, decentralized finance, blockchain, it's all happening.
Oh man, Tor. Can we talk about that NFT of the digitally rendered pixel art selling for millions? It's like we've entered an alternate universe.
Don't even get me started. And of course, we'll dive into the business implications and how tech giants are adapting or not adapting. There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, like how Meta, formerly known as Facebook, is pivoting again. They never seem to stick to one thing for too long, right?
True that. Lastly, we've got some juicy political tech drama. There's been some new legislation proposed that could impact big tech in a big way. I'm talking potential breakups and enforcement of stricter privacy laws. Hold on to your seats, everyone.
Indeed. CORR. So much to cover, so little time, but we'll be digging into all that and more. So sit back, relax, or maybe brew a fresh cup of coffee, and let's get this conversation rolling. All right, Tor, let's dive straight into this fascinating blend of crypto, blockchain, and the cutting-edge tech behind it, especially how it impacts everyday processes like those we deal with in financial sectors.
Absolutely, Jack. When you brought up using Claude for your crypto research and its sequential search mechanism, it really brings into light how AI can handle complex and varied data requests.
Precisely, Tor. In my experience with Claude, I was analyzing everything from Michelangelo's analogies for neural networks to Chainflip's cross-chain protocol work and Solana's technical architecture. Claude's ability to run these separate searches sequentially and then deliver a unified response was a game-changer for our research workflows.
And what's really intriguing is how this AI efficiency parallels what's happening in the blockchain space. Companies like Figure Technologies are showcasing how blockchain can streamline traditionally lengthy processes like mortgage approvals.
Speaking of that, think about how Figure's blockchain-based platform can reduce mortgage processing times from a month and a half to just a few days, cutting costs significantly. It's not just about a faster process. It's about real savings for consumers. That's revolutionary.
And the excitement in the market reflects that. Oversubscription rates are insane. Moreover, with companies like Gemini entering the fray, their public offerings signify the increasing trust and validation of blockchain technology in traditional markets.
Yeah, and the buzz around IPOs in the fintech and crypto spaces signifies a broader acceptance and anticipation of these technologies transforming financial systems. But what about the issues like the bug in the crypto smart contract CRM dashboard? Real-world application problems like data corruption can be quite a setback.
Exactly. Bugs like data corruption when editing draft contracts multiple times demonstrate that despite the excitement, there are real challenges that companies need to tackle. It's an ongoing process of refining and improving these systems.
Absolutely. And speaking of ongoing processes, Infosys's decision to buy back shares indicates their way of managing investor confidence amidst stock declines. They are leveraging their cash reserves effectively.
Indeed. And this decision is paralleled by the advice from Weishao Jun about reducing dependency on global GPUs for AI training. This could be crucial for Asian nations to develop more localized and resilient tech ecosystems.
The dependency issue also ties into the recent revelations from Bloomberg about verifying email authenticity using cryptographic and metadata analysis. It's this kind of tech advancement that's driving transparency in somewhat murky waters, like the dealings of Jeffrey Epstein.
The transparency and traceability brought about by blockchain and cryptographic methodologies are being increasingly valued. Look at Vantage's funding led by sovereign entities like GIC and Abu Dhabi Investment Authority. It's reflective of the confidence and future potential seen in blockchain implementations.
And that confidence isn't misplaced. With blockchain-based credit entities like Figure raising significant IPO funds and validating blockchain technology, it's clear there's substantial investor interest. They're proving that blockchain can revolutionize real-world credit markets and tokenization processes.
Speaking of market interest, it's fascinating to see the rise of Dogecoin again with treasury announcements and ETF investments. This renewed interest and capital influx into meme coins exemplify market dynamics in crypto.
It's a wild ride for sure. And then there are these long dormant Bitcoin whales moving funds after years, highlighting that even early investors see new opportunities or risks currently driving the market.
The awakening of these Bitcoin whales is particularly telling. They hold substantial influence over market sentiment and direction. It's a reminder of the early adopters' significant investment in crypto's future.
Exactly, Core. And as much as the market is volatile and speculative, genuine advancements and disciplined strategies like those Figure Technologies employs provide solid examples of blockchain and crypto's practical benefits.
True. And with so many forthcoming IPOs, including prominent ones from Gemini and others, it's evident that blockchain and crypto are not just trends. They're evolving into integral parts of our financial ecosystem. Let's keep an eye on how these stories unfold.
Definitely, Core. The transformation is happening right before our eyes, and it's thrilling to see how these technologies continue to develop and impact various sectors. So last week, we talked about ChatGPT's memory system, which pretty much functions like a sponge, absorbing all the data and building extensive user profiles. It's almost eerie how it remembers stuff from past chats and uses that to tailor responses.
Exactly, Jack. ChatGPT's ability to recall previous conversations creates that seamless experience everyone loves. It's like having a personalized assistant who remembers your preferences and habits automatically.
Now, switching gears to Claude, this AI assistant is like a minimalist memory keeper. It starts every chat with you totally fresh, nothing preloaded, and it only activates memory if you explicitly tell it to.
It's fascinating, right? Claude's approach feels less intrusive. It's like hanging out with someone who only knows what you told them in that moment and recalls it when you need. No guessing your mood from last week's chats or storing big profiles.
And the major kicker here? Claude scans through raw conversation history live. No pre-processed summaries, no AI-distilled profiles. It's a genuine record from your past exchanges.
It's almost refreshing, but very practical for specific tasks. Like, if you're coding, you want precision and relevance without unnecessary context.
Totally. Anthropic is steering Claude towards professionals and developers, those who thrive on clear-cut data and efficiency over personalization. It's clear they're mapping out a separate path from OpenAI's mass appeal strategy.
But what's intriguing is how these opposing systems cater to different users. ChatGPT is the consumer darling, students, parents, hobbyists, who enjoy that super tailored personal PDA experience.
Right. It's part of that magic tech playbook. Make everything sticky and personal without the user having to overthink it. Drives engagement, and eventually monetization becomes easier.
With Claude, though, the approach feels like it respects user autonomy more. You control what's remembered, making it almost transparent and ethical. No sneakiness.
And this highlights a broader lesson in AI design. Memory systems and AI aren't a one-size-fits-all scenario. They need to adapt based on user needs, essentially working backward from the problem you're solving.
Exactly. With AI's infancy, experimenting with memory design is essential. We're seeing an explosion of varied approaches. No clear best practices yet, just prototypes in the wild.
This reminds me of Uncharted territory maps. Exploration motivates diverse methodologies. It's thrilling, but keeps us wondering how much should AI remember as it grows older with us?
And let's not forget potential data interests. Years down the line, imagine how AI will handle accumulated context. Do we want total recall or selective amnesia?
We might have to develop guidelines on managing long-term AI memory. Balancing utility and privacy is key. But watching ChatGPT and Claude evolve is like observing two distinct species adapting to their habitats.
ChatGPT's sticky consumer habitat versus Claude's professional concentration zone.
Absolutely. And while we debate their differences, Apple's live translation feature for AirPods faces its own memory issues, strict EU regulations delaying its rollout.
EU's hefty regulatory framework forces tech giants to rethink implementations, especially around AI and data privacy. Look at GDPR's influence.
Let's talk about maintaining natural interaction flow via AI. It's hilarious and completely tech-savvy that Apple's active noise cancellation can lower speaker volume. AI enhancing real-life conversations? We're sci-fi territory.
But remember, this fluency depends on firmware and OS updates. It's almost reminiscent of gearing up for a gaming expo. Firmware drops to tweak AI optimization. Exciting, but technically demanding for users.
Meanwhile, speaking of major tech investments, Palantir's billion-dollar contracts. AI-driven analysis for battlefield intel? AI merging with domestic operations at CDC and NYPD? Huge leap from sterile tech labs to functional real-world integration.
And that brings us back full circle. AI memory, evolving tools, varied use cases. We're charting AI territory daily. Which approach sticks will come down to who uses these tools. It's thrilling, dynamic, and expanding.
Beyond Claude and ChatGPT, watching these tools adapt, impact, and redefine user interaction remains the real excitement. What sticks is yet unknown, but the journey is indeed fascinating.
Prepping for the next segment already? Let's get into Apple's broader regulatory dance in the EU and Palantir's AI leaps. Real-world consequences of AI integration could be a wild card here.
Absolutely. Stay tuned, more exciting tech exploration coming up. And I think the real game changer here is how these tools like the conversation search and recent chats redefine user engagement and productivity. They seem minor, but the implications are massive.
Absolutely, Jack. Just think about it. Instead of manually combing through endless chat logs, you can just punch in a keyword and bam, you've got the context you need. It's like a super-powered control plus F for your entire chat history.
Haha, yeah, it's the dream of anyone who's ever lost a conversation thread. And what's interesting is how it supports both developers and end users. These tools aren't just about retrieving data. They're about understanding interactions in a more meaningful way. Almost like having a personal assistant who remembers everything for you.
Exactly. But let's talk about scalability here. You mentioned DigitalOcean droplets and running stuff on FluUI.io at $14 a month. It's amazing, but what happens when you need to serve a million requests per month? Clearly, we can't just stick to horizontal scaling. Adding more VMs isn't the answer. That's where the vertical scaling comes into play, right?
Right, and that's a tough nut to crack. You'd need beefier servers, more CPU cores, and RAM. We're talking about servers with 128 cores and terabytes of RAM. But then there's the SQLite limitation. It's just one file on disk. It handles single reads or writes at a time, and while it brings simplicity, it comes with its challenges.
Yeah, it's like having a luxury sports car with a tiny gas tank. Great performance, but with some serious limitations. You have to manage your expectations and plan your backups meticulously. But listen, do you think the dependency on a single file could become a deal breaker as we scale up?
I don't think so. I mean, sure, it's a challenge, but one that's manageable with strategic planning. Plus, the simplicity of a single server has its perks. Easier status checks and troubleshooting, for instance. Imagine not having to debug a maze of connections among multiple servers. Sounds like a dream, doesn't it?
Haha, it does. But Jack, what's fascinating is how this plays into larger trends we're seeing in the tech world. The tools being written today are laying the groundwork for future advancements. These aren't just minor improvements. They're a fundamental rethinking of what's possible in developer productivity.
I love that point. they're not just building better mousetraps. They're reimagining what a mousetrap could be. And look at Palantir with their integrated data platforms. It's not just about storing data anymore, but about influencing how decisions are made and even transforming governance.
That's a bit frightening, to be honest. The idea that algorithms can flag someone just because of a data pattern rather than solid evidence. We're essentially letting machines guide our ethical and legal decisions. How do we maintain human oversight in such a system?
That's a great question. It's a balancing act. We need to integrate these advanced tools while ensuring they complement, not replace, human judgment. Otherwise, we risk becoming overly reliant on these data-driven systems. But trust me, the benefits, like more efficient fulfillment platforms or tailored customer experiences, are too significant to ignore.
That's true. But Jack, there's another angle to this. Look at the investment world. Tools like these in DeFi, we're seeing decentralized derivatives being packaged into exchange-traded products. This evolution in DeFi is creating new investment opportunities while also raising questions on regulation and centralization. Remember the pushback from DeFi advocates on the Clarity Act?
Oh yes, that's a hot topic. Implementing centralized exchange-like restrictions can stifle the innovation that DeFi stands for. These tools are designed to give control back to users rather than central authorities. Striking the right balance is essential, though the challenge might be immense.
It's fascinating, isn't it? From scaling tech solutions to transforming how even the government processes information, we see a paradigm shift. The real story is about understanding these changes and their wider implications. This episode is turning out to be quite the deep dive.
Ah, indeed. It just goes to show how interconnected tech, business, and politics have become. It's an exciting time to be part of these discussions, don't you think?
Absolutely, Jack. And it's critical for our listeners to stay informed and engaged with these developments. It's not just tech for the sake of tech. It's about how these innovations can reshape the world we live in.
So, Gore, we've been talking about the backbone of simplistic yet powerful data management. And I can't help but bring up how SQLite has become a game changer for many. Take this, feed your email service, for instance. The creator could casually spin it up, running on minimal resources, all thanks to SQLite. What would have been a nightmare with Postgres was a walk in the park with SQLite. Thoughts?
Absolutely, Jack. SQLite indeed makes things simpler, especially for smaller scale applications. No need to maintain multiple instances of heavyweight databases or deal with the complexities of scaling. It's lightweight, fast, and doesn't even need a separate server. How liberating is that?
Super liberating. I mean, that's the beauty of it, right? You don't need to worry about server costs or deep database management knowledge. Just embed SQLite in your app and you're all set. This type of simplicity enables innovation because developers can focus more on their actual project rather than the infra overhead.
Right, and it's not just for the hobbyists or small projects. I've seen corporations leverage SQLite for parts of their larger systems where it fits well. It's about using the right tool for the job. On the flip side, it reminds me of Palantir and their Gotham platform. Totally different scale, but also about the right tools. They're integrating data from multiple sources for the federal government purposes.
True. Palantir's work with Gotham is like comparing a Swiss Army knife to a full-blown toolbox. The complexity there is immense, and they're handling huge, sensitive data sets across various agencies. The political and social ramifications are massive, too. Think about how that data gets used and who has access.
Yeah, and that leads to a bigger conversation about data governance. There's always a balance to strike between making data useful and protecting privacy. The feds pulling data from everywhere can be a double-edged sword. You get insights, sure, but also risks of misuse or security breaches.
Exactly. And when it comes to creative solutions like your Melody Breeder concept, now that's a fascinating intersection of tech and creativity. You give people tools to evolve melodies. But again, simpler tech stack choices make such innovative projects feasible.
Thanks, Jack. It's a fun side project that leverages principles from biology. Using digital tools, you can watch melodies compete, reproduce, and evolve. Much like simpler data tools can enable vast, complex governmental systems, simpler creative tools can drive tremendous progress in arts.
Yeah, and having a digital playground for music evolution? That's just genius. Anything we use to replicate evolution's process in creative fields adds another layer of depth to our understanding. Plus, It's just fun.
Definitely. And fun is critical because it fuels innovation. Look at how simpler services have been democratized. It's not just about doing more with less, but finding joy in creation. Which, speaking of fun, did you check out the latest from OpenWave about how artists can monetize directly with their fans?
Oh, absolutely. Cut out the middleman, right? Platforms like OpenWave are reshaping how artists engage with their audiences. Your true fans will pay for exclusivity and direct connections. Spotify and TikTok won't offer that direct financial support to artists, but fans will. $10 a month from a core group of followers can make a world of difference.
Imagine no longer needing millions of streams to make a living. Artists can focus on quality and fan connection instead of just chasing mass appeal. This is the power of leveraging technology to remove traditional barriers and let creativity flow unimpeded by administrative or financial constraints.
Spot on. And that's the future. Democratizing platforms, simplified tech, giving more power and freedom to users. It's a trend we're seeing across industries. It's all about making complex processes accessible and ensuring diverse voices can thrive without hefty starting capital or logistical nightmares.
Exactly. It's about reducing friction. The easier we make things for innovators, the more creative solutions we'll see to complex problems, whether it's a simple email service, a government data project, or a revolutionary music platform. We need more of this kind of seamless innovation.
All right, folks, that's a wrap on this episode of AI Unchained. What a jam-packed session we've had today, Core.
Absolutely, Jack. From unpacking the latest advancements in AI, debating the future of tech and business, to diving into the ever-evolving political landscape, it's been one heck of an episode.
Couldn't agree more. And those insights on quantum computing were mind-blowing. I mean, talk about taking AI to the next level.
Yeah, if they can actually get it to work without, you know, collapsing into a black hole or something.
Laughing. Hey, small technicalities, right?
Smirking. Exactly. And let's not forget our lively debate on the impact of regulatory changes on tech companies. That was pretty heated.
Oh, you think that was heated? Wait till our listeners hear our after-hours discussions. But in all seriousness, these are the conversations that matter, and we hope you all found them as engaging as we did.
Definitely. And we can't overlook the business insights, especially with how AI is changing the competitive landscape faster than ever. The stakes keep getting higher.
Right. Core Plus, it's always a good day when we can sneak in a few jokes about our favorite AI fails.
Hey, it's all in the name of progress, Jack. You win some, you lose some. And sometimes AI just writes really bad poetry. Both laugh.
On that note, thank you to our listeners for joining us today on AI Unchained. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights along the way.
And a huge shout out to our audience for their continued support and engagement. Keep those questions and comments coming. We love hearing from you.
So, until next time, stay curious, stay critical, and we'll catch you on the next episode of AI Unchained.
See you next time, everyone.
Take care.